ganze Mann. Wenn ich dann hinein gekommen bin, you receive common teachings, but the way you understand it, this may differ. Like the Buddha, he was teaching, but like some people became arahants, some like Anagami, Sakyamuni, Sotapanna, some nothing. So you can say teaching is the duty of the teacher, but understanding is your duty. So, so any questions to anything you are still uncertain of, or concerning your meditation? If not, I just talk something. You don't have to be shy. Yeah, sometimes difficult to speak up in a group. It needs also some strength of mind. Because mostly like we want to speak, but like there are certain emotions coming up which like block us to speak. Like shy and like afraid, frightened. Maybe say something wrong, or you maybe say something and then you look like it looks a bit strange. You're afraid of that you lose your face, lose like the picture you have built up over so many years, like the picture which you like picture in society. We always try to protect it. But this picture is very fragile. And so I can understand it's sometimes not easy like to speak up. Because like if you have like afraid of this picture, and maybe the ego is also very strong. It hinders you like to speak up. Like emotions hinder and block the rational mind. There's like always a conflict between rational and emotion. Like for example, the teachers, they speak about the Dhamma and you maybe understand it. Oh yes, this is makes sense, it's very logic. It's really verifiable. It's also practical and it's good. But you still cannot do it. You still don't follow it. You still do the opposite because of your emotions. The emotions are much stronger, like your attachments, likings, dislikings, lust, anger. They are still too strong, and your rational understanding too weak. But this is actually like, this is the special skill, the special faculty of a human. Like animals, they also have these emotions. But they don't have this rational mind to be able to think. Like humans, they can stop and say, okay, let's think first. Should I do it or not? Is it skillful or not? Is it wholesome or not? Is it beneficial or not? Animals cannot do this. Like just an urge comes up, an emotional urge, and they just follow. And people who are not trained are like this. They are like, I say, their animal part is very strong. They just, whatever comes up, they just do. They want this, they try to get it. If it's in a correct way or a bad way, it doesn't matter. They try to get it. If they don't like something, they try to get rid of it. If it's immoral or not, doesn't matter. Get rid of it. So it's like this And like our duty, or what the Buddha is teaching, is like to develop that part. And first, we have like to listen to the Dhamma and understand it intellectually. And see, wow, yeah, makes sense. Very good. And very true. And once we see the value of it, once we see the value of the Buddha's teaching and the value of calmness, tranquility, compassion, metta, selflessness, one-pointedness, or you can say stability of mind, then you will start to change your life. If you don't see the value of it, you will not change anything. So the first step is like to see the value. To see the value of the teachings of the Buddha, of the path. If you don't see the value of this path, you will not walk it. And for this you have to contemplate. You have to contemplate and you have to observe nature, you have to observe yourself. And once you see the value, walk in this path very easy. If you not see the value, very difficult. Because of these emotions, like they want something different. They value other things. They value confusion, emotional excitement. They go after all these pleasures and excitements of the world, like which stir up the mind. And which is like actually the opposite of where the Buddha teaches. Like the Buddha, like the end of the Buddha's teachings, is like a mind which is not shaken anymore, which is like stable, cannot be shaken anymore. It's like non-shaken, and nirvana or nirvana, non-nirvana, shaken, like a mind which is not shaken by anything anymore. But right now, most people value to get the mind excited, to get it moving. Always like excitement through TV and shows and talking to people, stimulations to get this mind running, excited. But there, in excitement, there is no real peace, no real satisfaction. Actually, this excitement is dukkha, but people don't see it. But once you see, oh, this is dukkha, this is suffering, this is misery, this is something hard to bear, hard to endure. When you see this, you will change your life in direction to calmness, to tranquility, and to clarity. You will not stir up the mind anymore. You will, I'll say, stay away from things which steer the mind up. You will reorganize your whole life. Because nobody wants to afflict suffering on himself, to afflict dukkha on himself. Nobody likes to endure things which are hard to bear. Nobody likes it. Like nobody likes to sit in the bright sun. No, very, very difficult to bear. Hot sun. Or very cold, or to be around people which we not like, or to, like we don't like things which are difficult to bear. This is dukkha. If you translate dukkha literally, like states or experiences which are difficult to endure or to bear. And under this, you can put everything, like it's like, it's like an umbrella. This definition is like an umbrella, and you can put any kind of suffering, misery under it. Like, for some people it's difficult to bear to have no money, or difficult to bear that the sun is not as smart as we, or difficult to bear that our children are not the way we like, or difficult to bear that our love, husband or wife, is not the way we like. Difficult to bear the situation in the country, the government, or whatever. or difficult to bear the way our body is. We are not satisfied with it. We want to have a bit more beauty, more this, more that. Same thing, not satisfied with our mind. We want to be smarter, better, want to remember everything, want to be a good speaker. But what we want and reality are two different things. And this is actually where dukkha arises. Reality is as it is. Nature is like this. But we want to have a different. And this clash like makes the suffering. Once we see reality, once we understand nature, and we see that our wantings are very, how to say, irrational, or if I use a very hard term, stupid, very nonsense, very useless. When you see this, you drop, the mind drops it. And what is left is just nature, and you live in harmony with nature. And then all problems are solved. But we have problems because we want to have things different. What we see, we not like this, we want to have it different. What we hear, we don't like it, we want to have it different. Sometimes people around say things we don't like. Oh, and then we get angry and emotional and this and that. All the time, all day long, we try to manipulate, to adjust, to change, to do this and that, very busy. And all because of this. And what you get in the end, you get only dukkha. It's like you work for dukkha. Your payment is dukkha. And if you don't see this, you not stop it. So the first step is like to see dukkha. To see dukkha in our life. Because if we don't see dukkha, we not change anything. People who have like no problems, these are people like very lax. They not do anything. They not develop themselves, they not learn anything. They're negligent. And people who have a lot of suffering, or too much suffering, they are not able, because so much suffering, so much problems, they are not able to change something. Because maybe they cannot, they are like stuck in a system, stuck in a certain situation, they cannot do anything. It's like the beings in the hell, they cannot do anything about it, too much suffering. They cannot change, like I say, they cannot develop themselves. So the first step is like listen to the Dhamma and reflect on it. Compare it with your life. Compare it with the present moment. Because the teachings of the Buddha are practical. Like the teachings of the Buddha are verifiable. You can verify them in the here and now. It's not tomorrow or next year, or it's not some history or something. No, it's something practical which you can see here and now. The real teachings you can see here and now, and you can verify them. And once you see it, the mind, wakes up from this like dreamy state, like that everything is okay. Then he wakes up and sees, oh, it's not okay. Like there's a lot of dukkha, there's a problem. And when he sees there's a problem, he tries to find a solution. If you don't see a problem, you not look for a solution. It's very logic. It's like once you recognize that your house is something broken, then you look for a way to repair it. If you don't see it, you not look for a way to repair it. Same thing in the mind. If you don't see that there is dukkha, you not do anything. And once you see dukkha, it's very easy for you, like, to keep up the panchasila, very easy, because you see, if I break those rules, oh, very much dukkha. It's very uncomfortable. Because you steal something from someone, oh, one day maybe police comes, or he gets sad or angry, or you kill someone, oh, big problem. You lie to someone, or you say something bad to someone, oh, big problem comes back. It's like whenever you break these panchasilas, you come in conflict with society. Because we live in society. And if you don't follow these rules, you will get a problem with society. And who likes to have a problem? Who likes to make a problem for himself? Only people who don't see. But if you see, oh, this is dukkha. Nobody needs to force you to keep these five precepts or the panchasila. Nobody. You do it by yourself. It's like autonomous. It comes from inside. Not because your parents force you, or not because you are Buddhist and supposed to keep them. No. You do it by yourself. And you protect them. Because you see it by yourself, you feel, this is an harmonious way of life. Like if I keep them, all the gross problems, the wrath problems, cannot arise. And this is very, very nice. And it's like a calm life, a tranquil life, a peaceful life. But people who don't value calmness, tranquility, peace, they don't do it. They break the panchasila every day. Because they don't see the value of it. They think dukkha is sukha. This is like the... what is it called? Vipalasa. Vipalasa, like your sanya, Your perception is like, what is the word? Corrupted. You think what is impermanent is permanent. You think what is dukkha is sukha. You think what is uncontrollable you can control. You think what is beauty, or you think what is ugly is beauty. Your perception is like corrupted. You have now some questions? This was maybe just like to stir up your mind a bit. To get your mind in motion.
Yeah. If you use Pali terms, they are familiar with.
Yeah?
That's, yeah. Than English sometimes.
Yeah. But maybe my pronunciation of Pali is like Thai style, not like how say Sinhala style. Mm. Because I many times when I listen to Sri Lankan monks, even they speak Pali, I can hardly understand. Because like they have different pronunciation. Mm. Like some syllables they pronounce very different.
Mm.
You can see even in Pali, there's only one Pali, still there are many diversions.
Like those vipallas, they know anicca, dukkha, anatta, and asubha.
Yes, vipallasa,
yes.
Sanya vipallasa.
Yeah, four vipallasa.
Yes.
Sukha Atma.
But you may
the
I don't know how long you study in Buddhism, but you may have recognized, now I have a lot of knowledge. Mm-hmm. I know Vipalasa, I know this, I know Paticca-samuppada, I know Ariyasatta, I know this and this. Okay. Still sensei, still a lot of dukkha.
Yeah, the practical side is very important. Can you please elaborate more about this dukkha? And you mentioned sila and the dukkha. Mm-hmm. Because,
to see dukkha, you need to have wisdom. Mm. And wisdom comes from observation. Wisdom comes from seeing. And seeing comes from looking. And look where? Look inside. If you don't look inside, you cannot see, you cannot understand. If you don't understand, you don't see what is dukkha and what is sukha. You cannot, solve your craziness, your vipalasa. It's like you cannot cure the mind. You don't know what is right and wrong. You don't know what is nature, what is reality, what is dukkha, what is the cause of dukkha, what is like the solution of dukkha, what is the way which leads out of dukkha. And you have to see it for yourself. Like if you don't see it, there will this passion for associating with dukkha will not arise. Now you run after dukkha because you think it's sukha. But once you see, this is dukkha, this passion will arise and you will not run after it anymore. So the seeing is very important. And seeing comes from looking inside, looking within introspection. And this is the practical part. Because like just listening and thinking is not looking inside. This is just intellectual, I not want to say games, but this is like the first step. This is like Bariyati. But you cannot get Bhativeda, like you cannot get awakening or liberation just from Bariyati. Liberation comes like from Bhativati. Liberation comes from preparing the mind in order to see. Now, right now, your mind is not prepared. Your mind is not calm enough, not clear enough to see. So the whole practice is to make the mind calm and clear. And then you can see like a reality, then you can see how everything arises, why this arises, what is the cause, why this subsides, because the cause is not there anymore. You see the cause of dukkha, you see the cause of sukha, you see the cause of no sukha, no dukkha. But right now this is, too subtle, because your mind is too busy and very and muddy. It's like water which is in motion and very colored. If like you have like a bucket and the water is in motion and colored and all kinds of dirt is in it, you cannot see clearly what is in the bucket. Maybe there are diamonds in the bucket, you don't know. You don't see anything. So the first the practice is to make, not to stir up the water anymore, stop stirring it up, and then wait until the dirt or like purifying the water, like get all the dirt out. This is like the practice. And then from there comes the liberation or awakening. This is what is in the water. How stupid I was. Solution so simple. It's So Bariyati should be in order to know how to not to stir up anymore, how to purify the mind. This is the purpose when the Buddha was teaching. Like to prepare the people or the minds of the people in order that they can see by themselves. Like that they can get rid of the hindrances of the nirvana. How you pronounce it?
Nirvana.
Huh?
Nirvana.
Nirvana. Okay. Nirvana. Yeah. To get rid of the hindrances, the nirvanas.
Oh, Nibbana.
Nibbana. Yeah, Nibbana. I was thinking this was something strange.
Nirvana is Nibbana.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nibbana.
Nibbana.
Yes. Okay. Like the
hindrances,
the five hindrances. So this is like the first step to know what they are. Because if you don't know, you not recognize when they come, when they arise, and when they take over your mind. If you don't know them, you cannot see them. It's like when you sleep in your house, you sleep very, very, very deeply. Like the burglars, the robbers can come and can take everything with them. But if you are awake, once they come in, you see them and they see you, they run away. So same with the pancha nibbana. If you see them, they cannot do anything. But if you, unconscious, you sleep, you're not aware, they rob you of your calmness, they rob you of your tranquility, they rob you of your clarity. And what is left is like misery and disturbed mind, disturbed and polluted mind. Because they took all your calmness and clarity away with them. So this is about Batibat, like bhavana, about like the practice. How not to stir up the mind. It's like in the library, maybe you was reading, keep silent. This means silence is already there. Now you have to keep it. Same thing with the mind. Actually, the calmness, the nature of the mind is like already calm and clear, but we don't keep it. We disturb it all the time. Our bad habits disturb it all the time. Our anusaya and asava.
Yes.
Like the bad habits. It's like bad friends come to visit and we go with them. And they lead us into misery. We cannot separate between good friends and bad friends. So even the Buddha said, only accompany with good friends. We don't know the difference. Who's good, who's bad? Because our minds are so polluted. Like, we have no clear view. We don't know. We think our friends are good, but in reality, they are maybe not. Like, all the bandits think their friends are good. What's wrong? Yeah. So this is also why, for example, they say Sotapanna, he has like perfect morality. Why has he perfect morality? Because he saw the dukkha of not having morality, of being immoral. And so he not wants to inflict dukkha on him. So by nature, he is moral. because he doesn't like dukkha. He has already panya, he has already wisdom to a certain degree to see if I break the panchasila, I make myself. But normal people don't see this. They think, oh, stealing a little bit is good. It was very smart. Lying, very smart. Like, if I lie a little bit, I can get some profit. Or if I talk bad about that person, you feel it's good. Oh, this person did so bad, and da 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 da, and you feel good after it. This is like, the intelligence of people who are not that wise. And can you follow me? Can you understand what I'm saying? Like my English? Or am I talking too fast, too quick? No? Sorry, I should have asked before. Not after talking for about half an hour already. Any questions?
One question about the self. One of my friends asked, but I am struggling to answer.
Yes.
What he asked was, now if there's nothing called self in your next bhava, you are not carrying any self.
Yes.
Right? So he was asking, so why bother now? If it is not myself who is going to suffer the next power, then he was asking, why should I bother about the fate of another person? I knew it was like they were impermissive and he was ignorant, but I was not able to give a proper answer to him.
His view is, why should I bother about others since there is no self?
No. Himself. Why do you practice meditation
Feeble.
In this life? If your next bhava
yes.
is going to be another person.
Yes.
Your bad karma will result in another bad result in your next bhava.
Yes.
Next life.
Next life.
Yeah.
Next life. Why should I bother to meditate now?
Yes. Yeah. He was asking that.
Yeah.
So
because
being good for this life
yes.
is acceptable.
Yes.
But if it is not yourself, the person called I is not going to be there in your
yes.
next life.
Yes.
So it's not you who will be there.
Yeah.
So then he is arguing that if it is another person, then we don't have to meditate
yeah.
and...
Yeah. Okay, now I can grasp what
you're
talking
about.
Well, you can answer like this, one possibility. We can agree, we don't know what happens after death. We can agree on that. So this is uncertain. So let's focus on what is certain on this life. So if you see the value, see the benefit of meditation now, why not continue it? If you see, oh, very good. Like if I train my mind to be less emotional reactive, be more calm, be more, how say, stable, clear. Oh, this is something very beneficial. Like, in my job, I will be more effective. In my private life, I will do less things which cause problems. I will do more things which cause harmony, which will result in harmony, causing harmony. I will have a more peaceful life, more happy life. I'm able to keep my happiness, to keep my tranquility, to keep my tranquility more and more. The more I practice, the better I come, the more I can keep it. And who does not like happiness? So if he sees the value of it, of like meditation and cultivation, bhavana, that's how to say, good enough. Don't speculate what happens after life. If there's an if this has an effect on the next life, good. If not, well, I had a good life now. No problem. Like if there's no afterlife, no problem. I lived a very harmonious life now. So focus on the here and now. Focus, because the Buddha said the Dhamma is verifiable. You cannot verify what happens after life. You can only verify what is here, right and now. Even your memory is already corrupted. What you experienced yesterday, you only remember parts of it. It might not be like it really, or most probably it's not like it is anymore, or as it was. So what you can verify is here and now, this you can verify. And there's where you can apply the Dhamma. There's where you can see the Dhamma. And there is where the problem is, and there where also the solution is. There's your life, there's everything. There's also your thinking about the future. It's also here. This is like the only reality, the experience right now. And if it's not something verifiable, you cannot test it, you cannot verify it, it's not the Dhamma. It's something else. So no need to think about it. Because something else means this whatever it is does not lead to liberation or awakening. It's this other knowledge is maybe good for something else. But this kind of knowledge is not what you need in order like to calm your mind, to clear your mind, to see reality, to become awake and liberated.
I think the problem is, as you mentioned earlier, we can't see dukkha as dukkha. Because normal life sometimes, for example...
Very easy. Have you maybe recognized you change position all the time?
Yes.
Like monkeys?
Yes.
Why you change?
Because
it's difficult to bear. You sit like this a little bit, difficult to bear, and you change. That's dukkha. But we not look at it. We not observe it. Dukkha is there all the time, 24 hours. We don't see it because we don't look. Because we are, I say, lost in our, what you said, like in the senses. Lost in what you see, lost in what you hear, lost in what you think. Carried away with it all the time. And this is like Dr. Rani said, this is actually, how to say, the core problem, that we don't see dukkha. Because the Buddha said, if you see dukkha, you see the Arisa, Arisa seed, and like the Four Noble Truths, Arya Satcha. If you see dukkha, you see the Dhamma. If we don't look, we cannot see it. You change all the time.
So when we come to wrong doings, for example, sealer, so normal society, normally we see the benefits of doing wrong things.
Yes, yes.
Totally the opposite.
Yes.
That's why there's a tendency of breaking precepts.
Yes.
So why is that? How to change that?
Well, like I said before, there is only one true solution, and the true solution is seeing that breaking the precepts, there is no benefit, there is only dukkha. There is no benefit for you in it to break your Panchasila. It will result only in dukkha, in misery, in pain, in stress, in struggle, in conflict, in problems. And how to see it? Like, we can talk about it, and maybe you go home and break it again.
Yes.
Because normally you not trained yourself, you not trained yourself to look within. You're mostly just in your head. Just like thinking all day in and day out. And this is like conditioning. So the way to see is like you have to recondition yourself. You have to starve old unbeneficial habits and cultivate new beneficial habits, skillful habits. So if you want to see what we are talking here every month about, if you want to see it, you have to change from looking outside to look within. But because of habit, you do it 1 second, 2 seconds, boom, you're outside again. So, like, old habits die hard. It's like a saying, old habits die hard. So at the beginning, like everything, if you learn a new skill, it's difficult at the beginning. Like driving a car, at the beginning, it's like you're very like afraid, very under stress, very alert, and your body, a lot of hormones, and you're not at ease, not at peace. But if you practice more and more, after you can drive, telephone, talk, easy. And you're very calm, So the same thing with practice. At the beginning, it's like very difficult, and because you don't know yet how to do it right, you maybe do too much or you do it too less. You don't know what is like the balance of practice. Because practice is not difficult. It's only difficult for those who don't practice. Who think about practice. Oh, so difficult. But if you do it, it's not difficult. So it's... you have to... Like, not breaking anymore the Panchasila comes like from wisdom. And the way to get wisdom is like you have to look for the inside. And you have to do it by yourself. There's no way around it. And if you don't see the value of doing this, nobody can help you. And when you not yet see the value of it, then it would be good if you think a little bit more about the realities of life. If you think about your body, for example, like this body is alive because of conditions. For example, no oxygen, this body dies. Oxygen is one condition. Because there are kind lay people who feed me every day, I'm alive because I have food. No food, I die. Conditions. So This body is alive because of conditions. And conditions change all the time. So it's not very secure. And it's not very comfortable. Because it's changing all the time. I cannot really protect it. It's very insecure. Things can change very quickly. And it's not under my power. So, because it's insecure, it's not the way you like it. And because it's not the way you like it, how you can say it's mine? Because if it's the way you like it, means you can control it. But if you cannot control it, how you can say it's mine? Because if it's yours, you can control it. But if you cannot control it, it cannot be yours. And if it's not yours, it's not me, it's not myself. So for example, this body is very insecure. And because of this, it's not the way I like it. And it's not pleasant. And because it's not pleasant, it's how can I say it's mine? Because I don't want something unpleasant. If it's like mine, like under my control, I only choose the good thing, the pleasant things. But since it's not pleasant, this means it's not under my control. Because I would want to have it different. But it's like this. So it's not mine. And if it's not mine, it's not me. If it's not me, how can I say it's myself? And so you can contemplate about everything, about your body, your mind, your family, your job, everything insecure. Everything depends on conditions. And it's very, very unpleasant. And because it's not pleasant, it's not, the way you like it. It's not, because it's like this, it's not under your control. It's not yours. It's not yourself. And if you contemplate more and more about these things, these are just like some examples, like to contemplate about anicca, dukkha, anatta, or asukha. If you contemplate a lot about it, like thinking, now thinking, and contemplate on the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, like about the anusati, like the 10 anusati. This makes you see, this will create the urgency to look within yourself, the urgency to practice. This makes you see the value, or it makes you see all the dukkha on a starting level. So if you still not see the value of these teachings, like it's nice to come here to listen, it's like looking a channel in TV, like some intellectual stimulation, and nice, and it looks good. You can tell your friends, oh, I do meditation, I go to listen to Dhamma. Oh, very good, very good. You're Buddhist. Oh. So if you just do it for status, like to look good in front of your friends, or to show up, oh, I'm Buddhist. I go practicing every month one time. And for 1 hour, and beside of that, you do the totally opposite. If you just come here for for entertainment, nothing to say against it. This is up to you. If you come for entertainment, that's fine. But if you really want to change something to the better, you have to put effort in it. You have to put effort by yourself. And first you have to know what is the correct path, and then you have to walk it. You have to know the direction. You want to go to Colombo, you need to know where is Colombo, and if you know, there, okay, then walk. But make sure it's the right direction. Like if it's the wrong direction, the more you walk, the more wrong. So make sure right direction. and then walk, effort. And I can promise you, like if you do it right, it's not like when I say effort, you many people think, oh, struggling and doing something which is very exhausting. Like if you struggle to practice, this means you not really see the value yet. Because if you see the value of something, you do it by yourself and it doesn't feel like struggling. Like for you, it's not struggling to look TV, for sure. Very easy. Because you like it, you value it. Or to do all the fun stuff. If you see the value, it's not difficult to do. But if someone says, oh, let's meet this and this family, and you don't like them. Oh, no, I don't want, no. Oh, very struggling. Because you don't like it. You don't value it. And then, oh, very difficult to go there and talk with them, and oh. So, once you value something, once you see the benefit of it, it's very easy to do. So it's not stressing yourself. It's like you have joy. It's like Santa, Virya, Chitta, Imansa. Like you have a strong desire to do it. You do the causes in order to fulfill your desire, and you stop doing things which will intervene to get to your aim, to fulfill your desire, and you will, how to say, protect and maintain, like to work for it, and then. Yeah, and you also think about, yeah, you imagine your goal. Like you have a strong, you know where you're heading, you have a strong goal, like, oh, this is where I want to go. Like you imagine it, and this will empower you. And if one strategy will not work out, you will try another one. You're very resourceful. Means you not give up easily. If this doesn't function, okay, I do another one. Because in some situations this might not work, you have to use another tool in order to get what you want. So if you still not keep the Panchasila, this means you don't see the value of it. And I hope now you understood why you don't see it, because you not look. You not observe, you not, how say, you not put attention, you're not interested. You are interested in other things, because you value other things. And this means you were not thinking about life really. You have not contemplated like anicca, dukkha, anatta, asubha. You have not contemplated about the characteristics of the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. This means you don't care. Very simple. But it's very hard. Hard to hear, hard to accept. But it's like this. Like when you start, now you think, now everybody thinks, like my name is Visudo. Oh, I'm the golden Visudo. But once you start to look within, you see, oh, this Visudo is not as golden as I thought. Very defiled. Many dark spots. So if you start to practice, like an indication that you are starting to look within, you will see you are not as beauty as you think, you are not as moral as you think, you are not as kind and compassionate as you think. You see, oh, this is a, how to say, a simple meditation, if you like. very, I can maybe show you two simple meditations. Very easy. Easy for lay people to do. Very easy. The first one is like you sit comfortably. Like however you like, comfortably. The best is if you sit erect. Because if you slump or if you lean back, it triggers the relaxing effect of the body and it falls asleep. So, well, we want another relaxation. We don't want sleepy. We don't want to practice sleeping. So we want to practice to calm the mind. So there's only one rule: keep the body erect. This is also if you practice a lot and you have a slump posture, you will hurt your spine, and in the long run, you will get a lot of problems. So in order to avoid problems, sit erect. At the beginning, may be difficult because your muscles are not yet strong. But be patient, be patient. It's good for you. It's good for the long run. So sitting erect, and this is also wakeful posture. Like sleeping is like this, and this is like wakeful. So whatever meditation you do, and this is like one principle you have to follow for the body. And you sit erect, stand erect, walk erect, lie, okay, you cannot erect. But you can practice actually in all postures. So the next thing, very easy. I think those who have a car and have like a CD player or radio, there's like one button, and this is called pause. You maybe know this button, pause. So now we just like press this button, and whatever is in our mind, we just pause it. Thinking about work, family, what we're gonna do after this, and this and that, whatever. Just pause. Very simple. So I would like to invite you just like for 1 minute. Just like pause. Whatever comes in your mind, pause. Pause, 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 pause. Okay, 1 minute from now. You can let your eyes open or close, doesn't matter. Whatever feels comfortable. First thing you notice when you pause, you will see your breath. You will notice your breath. This is an indication that you pause. The joy of pausing. The relief of pausing. Allow yourself to have a break. about not doing. You don't have to do anything. Just stop doing. Pause the doing. How does it feel? Notice the effect on the breath of pausing the mind. Did your breath become more deep, more effortless, more beautiful? More enjoyable? Okay, I think that's enough for now. This was just like to bring back the mind to the body, because sometimes our body is in one place, but our mind in a completely different place. Even though we are sitting here, many times you maybe have recognized your mind goes back to your home, to next week working, to your family, to this place, that place. So this simple exercise to pause, it's like to unify the body and mind again, to come back here. This is actually the starting point where you can observe. And another exercise I would like to share with you. I suppose everybody of you have practiced one or another kind of meditation. Maybe you have practiced like to observe the breath. So you choose whatever meditation object you like, doesn't matter what. I take now the example of the breath. Normally we practice like to stay with the breath, like to focus, to concentrate on the breath. So now you just like observe the body is breathing. Do not focus on particular on one point. And then we try to note it, we not observe the body is breathing in order like to stay with it, but this is just like the anchor in order to notice when the mind moves somewhere else. So you have a meditation object in order to recognize when the mind moves to thinking, planning, feeling, emotions, hearing something, smelling something, tasting. So we want to train to become familiar with all the kinds of objects. The more you see it, the more the mind memorizes. Ah, this is thinking, this is emotion, this is this. And when the mind remembers it clearly in daily life, when that thinking comes, emotions comes, there comes then the recognition. Ah, thinking means sati arises. Like, ah, it's like a recollection. You remember, ah, there's this and that right now happening. And at that moment, you will not get carried away by this thinking or whatever it is, emotion or whatever, because I say you objectify it, you are detached from it, you are looking at it. So, because when you not see it, automatically you identify with it and you get carried away by it. So this is an exercise, first in order to see like all the kinds of experiences, like thinking, planning, emotions, seeing, hearing, and whatsoever. To see them, then to memorize them, later to see them in daily life, and then the next step is to see the anicca, anatta, dukkha in them. Like if you see the body and mind, like if you pay attention at the body and mind, this you can call samatha practice. If you see anicca, anatta, dukkha, this you can call vipassana practice. So whatever you practice, when you observe the breath or the abdomen or whatever, if this body and mind, this is samatha. But if you see the three characteristics, then it becomes like vipassana. Like the universal characteristics of whatever phenomena experience. So you choose one meditation object, whatever you like. Preferable meditation object you enjoy looking at. And then you just like gently look at it. You're not forced to stay with it. You don't want to get tense when you meditate. Just like gently look at it. And notice when the mind goes. The more you notice, the better. So when you, thinking again. Oh, very good. This means you see thinking. This is what we want. We want wakefulness. We want to see. So the more you see, the better. But we have this meditation object, this anchor, in order not to get lost too long. Like for example, thinking arises, we not see it, and then after 1 minute, oh, I forgot the meditation object, and then you can come back. So this is like a security line in order to come quicker back. And in order to notice when your mind is moving, because you have a fixed point, you have an anchor. It's like a technique. In order to get familiar when the mind is moving. And this is a very important skill. And this skill helps you in all circumstances of daily life. Then, from being a slave, you become a master. Now you're a slave of whatever arises in your mind. You identify with it. You get carried away with it. You react towards it. But if you practice seeing when the mind moves and then you notice it, means like you step back. Then you have a choice to do it or not. Then you have a choice to reflect on it. Is it skillful to say this, to do this, or not? But if you don't see the thinking, if you don't see the urge or the intention or whatever, and you get identified with it and get carried away with it, you don't have any choice. But if there is sati, you have a choice. Okay, this is skillful or not, this is beneficial or not, this will make me more calmer, or this will agitate me, or this leads to harmony, this leads to confusion, distraction, stress, and you will see it more and more. You will understand more and more about cause and effect. What leads to what. And you can practice this whenever you have a minute free. It's very simple. Same thing with the pausing. But if you do several times for a minute, sure, in your job you should work, but when you go from your desk to the toilet, oh, you can practice. When you not need your mind like to fulfill a certain task.
So when you feel a pain, for example, like pain or something, what to do?
Like in sitting meditation.
Yes. So you focus on, you know, breathing.
There's a very simple solution. Stand up and walk. Like if, I say, we not... meditation is about the mind. And why we have to change postures? Because if you don't change postures, the body gets sick. Try to sit all the time. Oh, you get problems. Or try to sleep all the time. Oh, very much dukkha. Even until you can even die because of it, if you don't move the body anymore. That the body, you have to move the body in order that the body keeps healthy. You have to stop the mind in order that the mind gets healthy. Different, opposite. But body is movement, mind is stopping. And so when you do sitting meditation, so start with 5 minutes and let the body adapt slowly towards this new position, new exercise. Because you are not used to sit long. So don't start with 1 hour. We are not practicing torturing ourselves. I mean, there are certain people who, how say, they like, how say, they want to go into the pain because the pain is, how say, is, very obvious. It's hard not to see. Like they need something, a very gross object in order to see something. So they sit in pain and all kinds of things. Like they are like the type of effort, struggling. I mean, this is also one way, but like our Buddha is the wisdom Buddha. There are other Buddhas who like the Virya Buddha. But this takes much more longer time. Because in order to see, you need to have a calm and like a relaxed body and a calm mind. If your body is not relaxed, your mind gets stirred up. And your mind will not be calm. And if your mind is not calm, you don't see clearly. If you don't see clearly, you don't, how say, you not get awakened or liberated. Whenever, maybe you have recognized, whenever samadhi arose, the body very relaxed. Very relaxed. So there are certain teachers who every teacher is teaching something different and there are many ways. So I only say one way. I don't say one is wrong or one is right. Like I answer in the way what I find most beneficial, but it might not be beneficial for everyone because every case is different. Every person is a different medicine, cause different sickness, they have accumulated different paramis, and in order to balance it, you have to do different things. So one way I said, like, yeah, okay, stand up if you have pain sitting, and yeah, do better, sit often but short. And then other ways, like do some yoga exercises, some stretching. Like get more flexibility in your sitting posture and your tendons and your muscles. Another way is like learn how to relax your muscles, because many people they tense certain muscles all the time without knowing it, and this causes them tension and then pain. So learn to feel your body. And when you feel it, learn to relax your body. Most people they're not sensible enough anymore to feel their own body. For example, if you're sensible, you can feel the breathing in the hand. You can see like how the skin breathes. You can feel it. Every part. Hands are very easy. Easier than the toes. But many people cannot. They don't feel anything. They don't even feel this one. If you ask them, notice your breath, they cannot notice if in-breath or out-breath. They don't know. So, yeah, learn to relax the body. And first you have to feel your body, like tense it, that you feel it, the muscles, and then relax. Then see the difference between tension and relaxation. Why many people also don't see the dukkha? Because they never experienced sukha in their life. Once you experience sukha, you know what is dukkha. It's like the fish in the water doesn't know he's in the water. But at that day, the fish goes on land. He understands, I was all the time in water. Same thing with dukkha. People are in dukkha all the time. They don't know it. But once they experience sukha, they understand, all the time dukkha. So you need to experience the contrast, the opposite. Same thing with tension and relaxation. Many people also don't see the advantage or the value of calmness and tranquility, because they don't know what it is, how they can value it. So these are you can do with simple body relaxation methods, you can get a taste, a feeling of what is calmness and tranquility, what is relaxation. Because many people don't know it anymore, because they're all the time under stress, all the time busy, all the time tense, and have neck pain and shoulder, back, and all kinds of pain. Because they don't know how to relax. So this is another possibility. Then there's also the other method. Yeah, you sit through it, because pain also is anicca. Pain comes and pain goes. So, like I also tried to sit for many hours, the pain come, boom, away. Come again, away. And it's like a wave. But you cannot escape from pain, because as long as you have a body, pain will come. Because it's all about the four elements. And when one is too much, one like fire element or this or that, then pain arises. It's just like if you look closely at pain, this is also one method. You look very closely at pain, but for this you need samadhi. And you see the components of pain. And you see pain is actually not stable, it's actually something coming and going. You see it's like something that changes all the time. And you see all these phenomena, and you see all these characteristics of it. So you see there's you see the voidness of it. You
see there's actually nothing there. It's a way. It stops to be a Brahman. Like if you see food. But like in order to see the four elements, you need samadhi. Or suppression is also a method. You suppress it. You focus on something else. You just not pay attention. You just focus on something else. You don't let your mind go to the pain. Also, you not notice it. But pain's still there. But because you not notice it. But actually, you have always to remember what is the purpose of meditation. The purpose of meditation is like calmness, like this is one. First you need the calmness, and if you have pain, your mind gets, you are not at ease anymore. So better stand up and do walking meditation. There's nothing wrong with walking meditation. Or do standing meditation, nothing wrong with that. So first, in the beginning, focus a little bit on, relax, find something relaxing, relax body, and this will help you to calm the mind. You not need to be Rambos, like fighting, and if you fight, this is very, very struggling, very unpleasant. How you can experience calm? Impossible. But there are many methods, there are other methods. And if they work, that's fine. But I noticed if you have relaxed body, very easy to have a relaxed mind. It helps. Same thing, relaxed mind, relaxed body. It's like internal connected. But not get too lax. Like just sleeping. No. This is not what I mean.
So you have to be awake and aware.
Awake and aware. We practice wakefulness, not sleeping. You're not practicing dying. No, we're practicing wakefulness. So if there's pain, okay, there's pain. You see, pain came by itself. You can also contemplate if you like. Pain came by itself. I not invite the pain to come. So, if it came by itself and I don't like it, how can I say it's my pain? It came by itself and you cannot control it. You cannot say go away. So if you cannot say go away or come or anything, how can you say it's yours? So why you get busy because of this? It's not you. Why you care? Why you make a problem out of it? Why you want to have a different? Why you get busy, oh, I want him to be this and that. Whoa. This is another thing, you can contemplate on it, but you have to use intelligence. Contemplate on anicca anatta dukkha. Let it teach you, like the five khandhas, they are not you, because they are not under control, because they are unpleasant, they are insecure, everything depends on conditions. This is also an intelligent way to use pain. Let it be your teacher. But fighting with it is not intelligent.
So initially, you change posture and there's a pain?
You can change, you can contemplate. It depends on your strategy. like depends on what you focus. Like you want to, how say, practice anicca sanya, dukkha sanya, anatta sanya. You want to contemplate. You can use it as contemplation, or you focus now on calmness. Okay, you change first, or you sit in a chair if you have problems because sit in a chair, no problem about that. In the Buddha's time, no chairs. This is why he said sit on the ground. And this was the most, the most comfortable posture at that time. So, sit on a chair, no problem. And, or stand. Standing is also very good. And if you have the balance. And just like, before meditation to do some relaxing exercise is very good. It's like a very warm, good warming up. Then you save you a lot of time during the sitting meditation. If your mind, like if your sati and gets stronger and stronger, your samadhi gets stronger and stronger, your wisdom more and more sharp, pain is no issue. It's just like one phenomena like everything else. It just comes and goes. The mind is undisturbed. Pain is there, but you not suffer because of the pain. Pain will be there until you die. But if you have a trained mind, you will not suffer because of the pain of the body. Maybe you have read the sutta with the two arrows. Like an untrained run of the mill person, like when the body is in pain, the mind is in pain. But someone who is trained, the body is in pain, but the mind is not in pain. Notice what is going on right now. Notice what your face is doing, smiling, whatever. Notice, like look within. Notice, are you thinking right now? What emotion? What feeling? What position your body is in? Always come back to the body. Notice that you, whatever happens, you know it just after. The mind, the body moves and you know after. You think you move it. And it's actually not you moving. You just know it after. But it happens so quick. Too quick for untrained minds. Medicine becomes like toxic. You have to know the right amount. The amount is the toxic. I think it's good enough. So focus on yourself. Try to do it often and often and often. More and more and more. This is what the Buddha wants you to do. This is why he's teaching, in order that you start to look at yourself. whatever you practice, when you notice that this passion for the world arises, this is an indication that you do it, that you do it in the correct way. But if your desires increase, you become more and more attached, then you do something wrong. But if the grip of the world loosens more and more you have this passion, more and more you put things down, because you see, oh, it's very disturbing, very, very dukkha. You put down more and more. This means you're practicing correctly. So try to learn also to assess yourself, to check yourself if you're practicing correct or not. What are the indications of correct practice, wrong practice? So at first you have to learn. You have to learn. You have to listen to a teacher. Learn the basics, and then apply and do it. Become independent, self-reliant. And don't lose your common sense. Don't believe blindly. Whatever the teacher says, don't believe it. Check it. Because nowadays so many people teach so many things. And this time is not different to the Buddha's time. Like maybe you read the Kalama Sutta. There they said also, oh, so many teachers teach so many things. They got very confused. What, and they asked, what to do with all this? How to know what is right, what is wrong? But about this next time, we have to make a stop. So thank you very much for your patience. And I wish you all the best. I hope that one day you see the value of calmness, tranquility, peace, harmony. And once you see the value and walking this path will be very easy. And this path is beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, and beautiful in the end. And yeah, I wish you all the best. May you attain Nibbana as soon as possible. And it all depends on causes. Do the right causes, Nibbana will come for sure. If you don't do the causes, Nibbana will never come. So it lies in your hands. Do the right causes. All the best.